This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Livet in the Kitchen is back with another delicious recipe. We will have music by Lifelong Worship, an inspiring devotional thought, and much more.
Don't go anywhere, friends.
Good morning and happy middle of the week. Welcome to a new episode of Wake Up With Hope.
We are so happy you're here. Good morning to you on this lovely fall day. Tell us, are you enjoying the fall season? I am loving the fall colors. We'd love to see what fall looks like in your area. Send us a picture on our Wake Up With Hope Facebook page. We'd love to see what different colors are surrounding you.
You know, colder days are ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you love the summer more than the winter.
That's true.
But the fall is that smooth transition to colder days. And today's program will feature a perfect Thai curry soup for those colder days. And we also have a blessings-packed show filled with inspiring music, devotional thought, and much, much more. But first, let's take a look back on this day in history.
On this day in history, on November 9, 1965, at dusk, one of the biggest power failures in history occurred as all of New York State, portions of seven nearby states, and parts of eastern Canada were plunged into darkness. The Great Northeast Blackout began at the height of rush hour, delaying millions of commuters, trapping 800,000 people in New York subways, and stranding thousands more in office buildings, elevators, and trains. 10,000 National Guardsmen and 5,000 off-duty policemen were called into service. The blackout was caused by the tripping of a 230 kilovolt transmission line near Ontario, Canada at 5:16 p.m., which caused several other heavily loaded lines also to fail. This precipitated a surge of power that overwhelmed the transmission lines in western New York, causing a cascading tripping of additional lines, resulting in the eventual breakup of the entire Northeastern transmission network. Altogether, 30 million people in eight states and the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec were affected by the blackout.
You know, friend, how is it with you today? Are you walking in spiritual darkness or are you walking in the light of Jesus Christ? Just like a simple trip of a transmission line caused a major blackout, so too can a simple and seemingly minor indecision cause us to walk in spiritual darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Jesus Himself said that He is the light of the world, and he who follows Him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you walking in His light today? Are you following Him with all of your heart? We encourage you, friends, to examine your walk today and decide to follow Jesus with all of your heart. You can be sure that when you do, you will be filled with light and experience hope and peace and joy. And that is a promise, and it's everlasting.
Amen. Sweet, savory, and delicious.
That sounds good.
Curry soup,
yes.
That is uniquely flavored by Chef Corey of Loma Linda's Livet in the Kitchen.
Ginger is a wonderful ingredient, especially when added to soups. It brings big flavor with few calories. When you grate it finely, such as with a microplane, it's not necessary to peel the ginger. However, easy peeling tips can be found on our website. Sauté the ginger and garlic only until you can smell it, and then add the chili paste. The paste can be spicy, so feel free to modify the amount. We cook the stock of the bok choy first, but hold on to those leafy greens for the end. Vermicelli noodles only really need to be rehydrated, so they don't take long to cook. This is a great soup with unique flavors. Let your guests add toppings to make this soup their own.
Have you ever been falsely judged by people? Maybe you've been cruelly judged by others and painted in a bad light. Well, today's Masterstroke episode is for you. Come along now as we join Neil Schofield as he examines another unique painting filled with lessons and practical applications.
The first Rembrandt painting was The Stoning of Stephen in 1625. He was just 19 years of age. This painting comes from the biblical story where the deacon Stephen became the first Christian martyr. When Stephen blamed his people for killing the Messiah, they ran towards him in a pack. So here we have Stephen in the center. His face is lit and he's gazing up to the light. A whole bunch of men are poised, ready to stone him. We have a man mounted on a horse on the side, and we can see the domes and walls of Jerusalem in the background. At the rear of the painting is Saul of Tarsus. He's holding the coats of those doing the dirty work. What I find interesting is that Rembrandt looks to have painted the same face as Stephen on Saul. He's even looking in the same direction. Why? Maybe Rembrandt is portraying that Saul would soon take the place of Stephen and become a mighty worker for Jesus. Now let's look straight above the face of Stephen. Here we find a self-portrait of Rembrandt. He's painted himself in among the gang of killers. But by the look on his face, he seems to be having second thoughts. As he saw the peace on the face of Stephen and the light of God shining on him, as he heard him say, "Lord, please do not charge them with this sin," going through his mind must have been, "I think I've misjudged this man. Maybe he's innocent after all. What if this bad man is actually good? What if I've made a terrible mistake?" Of course, that happened in the mind of Saul. So maybe Rembrandt painted himself thinking exactly the same thing. So what's the point of this painting? For me, it's this. From the life and prayer of Stephen came the ministry of Paul. From the ministry of Paul came the gospel to the whole world. The next time you feel like someone has misjudged you, falsely accused you, or rejected you in your faith, remember the story and prayer of Stephen. "Lord, please do not charge them with this sin."
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We hope you're enjoying your time with us this morning, but now we have to take a quick break. When we return, we will have music by Lifelong Worship, and later, John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be encouraging us with a truth-filled message.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood. This classic hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," was written by the great Protestant reformer Martin Luther. And in it, Luther proclaimed his confidence in God and rallies all Christians to war against evil. This morning, the musical group Lifelong Worship brings a unique take on this traditional hymn.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his ear.
Oh, my God,
dost ask who that may be. Christ Jesus, it is He.
Amen. Oh, I so much enjoyed that. You know, and we hope that you're inspired to war against evil and put your ultimate trust in God, the only sure mighty fortress.
If you're enjoying today's program like we are, please share it with your friends. Our website is hopetv.org/wakeup and search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep with us there also. Coming up right after this break, Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written shares a thoughtful message from the Bible with us.
But first, what are cultured foods and do we need these in our diet? Dr. Narada McKibben explains on today's Doctor's Orders coming up right now.
I love eating cultured food.
Cultured food?
Yeah, this is a culture medium in which a large colony of friendly bacteria live. And when I eat them, they go into my tummy and they help me digest my food, assimilate my nutrients, and they boost my immune system.
So is that like blue cheese? I used to work in a restaurant and I made blue cheese dressing about 30 gallons a week. I'd take these big wheels of blue cheese, grind them up, and the smell would permeate the whole restaurant and the waitresses would come back and complain. I thought you said they were friendly.
Yeah, well, you have to consider the colony that you're eating.
Well, how do you know?
In your case, it's unfriendly.
Well, how do you know the difference?
Well, you think about it. Cheese causes headaches, migraines, irritability, indigestion, and poor sleep.
That sounds pretty unfriendly to me.
Exactly, very unfriendly. And those bacteria are actually not good for your intestinal microflora.
Well, not only that, the cheese is cultured for many months, severely oxidizing the cholesterol.
Right, and oxidized cholesterol is lethal to your arteries. Within 24 hours, you're already starting to develop plaques.
So coming back to friendly bacteria, are you saying that there's a war going on in our gut between the friendly bacteria and the pathogens?
That's right, there is. And if we have antibiotics, we wipe everything out and we have to start all over again. That's when the battle really rages. And so it's important. The other thing is we have a very hygienic lifestyle. And so we don't carry as many bacteria probably as we used to. So it becomes even more important to replace the bacteria in our guts with friendly stuff.
So if I eat this yogurt, will I be a cultured man?
Well, at least on the inside.
Doctor's orders.
Thanks, Doc. I'll eat to that.
Me too.
Welcome back to our program. How are you enjoying it this morning? Send us a message on Facebook and let us know. We love to hear from you.
This morning, John Bradshaw from It Is Written is here with us to share a reflective message from the Bible.
Hi there. Hope your day is going great. I'm John Bradshaw from It Is Written. What a privilege I have to be able to spend a few moments with you. And I want to share something that I believe will encourage you and bless you today. In 1983, a 61-year-old man in Australia entered a running race. Nothing too unusual about that. It was a race from Sydney to Melbourne, almost 550 miles. Something a little unusual about that. How many marathons is that? That's, I don't know, 20 or so marathons that just back to back to back to back to back. That's a long way. He appeared at the starting line, a little unorthodox. He had some nylon sort of track pants that he was going to be wearing with holes cut into them for I guess, aeration. Older than most, some people wondered what in the world he was even thinking being there. Some said to him, so, I mean, have you trained for this? What's your preparation been like? Why do you think you can run 550 miles? He said, well, you know, he was a potato farmer, funny enough, a potato farmer. But he said, I've lived on a farm where we had sheep, 2,000-acre farm, and we used to round them up on foot. I'd have to go out there some days and run around the farm to gather up all those sheep. He said, there were times I'd be out there and I would run for 2 or 3 days without a break. He said, this is just a couple of days longer. I figure if I can do that, I can do this. Well, sure. So before the race began, he took out his false teeth because they rattled when he ran, and he didn't like that very much. He still lived with his mother, which is, of course, perfectly okay. But I'm just telling you, he was a little out of the ordinary, this guy. So the race began. The other runners, professional athletes, all sort of ran off as professional athletes do. And this fellow, a man named Cliff Young, started shuffling along the road. Now, if you watch him run, and you can find him online, it's not the worst thing you ever did see, but he doesn't look like your typical Kenyan marathon runner. That's for sure. It was a very efficient, economical way to run, but man, he was slow. The other runners left him behind, and people wondered how far last Cliff Young would ultimately finish the race. But a funny old thing happened. The strategy back then was to run for 18 hours, sleep for 6. Run 18, sleep for 6, which I think is quite remarkable. But Cliff Young decided that he would just run. And he would sleep when he felt like he needed to. So even though he started the race a long way back, before very long, he was catching up to the runners ahead and passing them. Cliff Young ended up miles in front. He ended up shattering the race record, and he won the Sydney to Melbourne running race by 10 hours. You know, that's a long way. The 61-year-old amateur running in a race like this for the first time beat the young pros by, well, not a country mile, but by many country miles. So what was the secret to Cliff Young's success? He went on to become a legend, you know. After this, he tried to beat some other record, but I think he got sick. It was maybe a record for running 1,000 miles. Then he wanted to beat the record for running around Australia. That's about 10,000 miles. He got 4,000 miles into it. Can you imagine that? And then his one support crew person got very sick and couldn't carry on. So after running 4,000 miles, Cliff Young had to say, I can't go any further. Had to drop out of his round Australia odyssey. Imagine that, 4,000 miles for virtually nothing. But Cliff Young became a legend. How does a 61-year-old win an ultramarathon against much younger, much more experienced competition? Well, it's not that difficult if you stop and think about it. Cliff Young got in the race and just kept going. He put one foot in front of the other, and he didn't quit. He just kept going. It was a little bit like the tortoise and the hare, I suppose, where the hare stopped or slowed down, and the tortoise slowly but surely caught up and eclipsed the hare and won the race. Cliff Young was the hare in the Sydney to Melbourne running race, an ultra marathon. What did he do? I'll tell you again. He put one foot in front of another. Philippians 1 and verse 6 tells us that Christianity, that faith in God, is just a little bit like that. The Bible says, "He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Can I say that again? He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So who began the work? Jesus began the work. And according to the Bible, He'll keep doing the work. Elsewhere, the prophet Isaiah wrote that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How about that? So if you wait on God, God will strengthen you. And then God will work in you. That's the secret to successful Christianity. It isn't a matter of becoming so good that you don't need God, that you don't need Jesus living His life in you, that you can do it all right now. No, no Christian ever gets to the state that she or he is all right on their own. That would be the absolute opposite of successful Christianity. Instead, at every step, we recognize our complete and utter dependence on Jesus. This principle is throughout the Bible. You've heard the story of Gideon. You read it in the early chapters of the book of Judges. Gideon had an army of 32,000 men. God said, too many, and he whittled it down. 22,000 men left, 10,000 men remained. I mean, when I say left, went home. And Gideon was left with an army of 10,000. He was going to be fighting against a massive army who were like the sand of the sea in number. God said to Gideon, take him down to the water. They got down to the water, and then God separated the men from the boys. At the end of the day, Gideon was left with an army of 300. And God said, okay, Gideon, now you're good to go. Now you are ready to go down and fight that battle and win. Now, that was you or me. We might have looked at God and said, are you crazy? I hope we wouldn't, but I'm acknowledging the possibility that one or the other of us might have said that. Are you crazy, God? See, God wasn't wanting Gideon to feel like he was going to win in his own strength because of his own might, because of his own power and military skill. No, God wanted Gideon to win a victory, realizing that he, Gideon, was relying on God fully and completely. That's to be our life, to trust in God, to rely on God, and to allow the one who began the work in us to continue the work. Gideon might have said, I can't beat an army like that. And God would have said, no, you just go. I'll do the work. You just attack and I'll do the work. You present yourself. I will do the work. Like Cliff Young, the runner. Just put one foot in front of another and give God the opportunity to work. So today, how can you demonstrate faith by putting one foot in front of the other, expecting God to advance you and clear a pathway for you? I don't know the answer to that question. Right now, you might not either, but sometime today, God will give you the opportunity to turn to God and say, you've got this, and I'm trusting you. I'll just go forward putting one foot in front of the other. I'll rely on you. You do the work that I could never do. Cliff Young was the unlikely legend. What a guy, 61 years old, winning a race like that. What did he do? He put one foot in front of another. You do the same today and lean on God and trust in Him. You'll see God do great things. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope today. Don't forget to visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to learn more about what is going on here at Hope Channel.
And be sure to tune in tomorrow. We will have a special feature on exercise, and Dwayne Sterling will join us with music. Plus, we will have an inspiring morning devotional and so much more. If you enjoyed today's message, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides designed with you in mind.
Again, that's hope.study. We have no doubt that you'll be blessed and very encouraged. And before we go, we have a Bible promise we'd like to share with you. This one is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25.
The Lord is good to those who hope in Him, to the one who seeks Him.
Amen. Friends, who is your hope in today? What is your ultimate goal in life? As you consider these questions, keep this beautiful promise in mind. The Lord, the Creator of the world, promises to sustain you. He promises to do good all the days of your life as you place your hope in Him alone.
We pray that you will have a wonderful Wednesday, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today we choose to put our hope entirely on you because you never fail. You're constant, you're always faithful, and you care so deeply for us. You love us with a love that is amazing. And today, Lord, as we go throughout our day, may we never forget the promises of God. In Jesus' name, amen.